Hi, I'm Nick Garnett, and you're listening to episode 2 of Searching for Salah, my one-man expedition in the hope of finding out what makes a modern footballer tick.
He's the best player in the world. It's boss when he gets the ball.
He's just a fantastic footballer, isn't he?
He's not born like a star, okay? He worked to be a star.
It hasn't been a roller coaster, it's been a landslide.
I love him with all my heart.
It's his goals, you know. Goals speak for themselves.
Who wants to be a king, even if it's just for one day?
He helped put Egypt on the map of world football.
I am that type like Mo Salah. I am this guy. As a Muslim, as an Arab, as an Egyptian.
Magnificent Mo has done it again.
He had a brilliant first season at Liverpool, he's hero worshipped at Anfield, but in this episode, we concentrate on his effects off the pitch, to Liverpool's Muslim community. He's not only changing how Muslims feel about themselves, but how non-Muslims think, and he's also opening up people's minds about Islam and sport. According to the Liverpool City Region Mayor Steve Rotherham, he's doing for community relations in 2018 for Muslim footballers what John Barnes did in the 1980s for black players.
People started to look differently at how the black community, the BAME as we call it now, community, was being treated. And I think with Mo, it is about people starting to understand, oh, he's Muslim, is he? Oh, is that what Muslim is about? And that's why I think his behaviours have been so incredibly important to people start to break down those, as I say, misperceptions of what Islam is all about.
I met Steve Rotherham in his office overlooking the River Mersey and indeed the whole of Liverpool. And in the distance, you can see Anfield. We talked about the songs being sung on the Kop, fans singing about converting to Islam if Salah scores a few more goals.
We had Britain's first mosque, actually, you know, in 1889. So it's been around a long time. But I'm not certain without Mo Salah whether those people who were singing those sorts of songs would have felt any sort of comfort in being able to talk about going to a mosque, or, you know, about Islam as a faith, or about praying and celebrating in that way. I think it's a really good thing to start breaking down some of those misperceptions that people have of a different faith. I think his legacy will be much more about what's happened off the field, as well as what's happened on the pitch. That sort of breakdown in people's understanding of politics and football and religion. Sometimes people say that them things don't mix, and of course, when they do, and they have on this occasion, that can be a real powerful good that comes out of it. And I think that's what's happened with Mo Salah being part of the Liverpool family.
Welcome to where I grew up in Liverpool. Over there, there's a hairdresser, a bank, and down the road, a fire station. And they're all quite famous because this is Penny Lane. Over there is St Barnabas Church, where Paul McCartney and I were in the choir. Just a shame it wasn't at the same time. Looking down Penny Lane itself, the snooker player John Parrott lived there on the right. We knew each other when we were kids. My dad was his headmaster. And every few weeks I go round to his house and get systematically battered by him at snooker. Every single time. My first lesson, perhaps, in realising that professionals are in a completely other league to us. And straight up Church Road now, and a few hundred metres on the left, is my old high school, the Liverpool Bluecoat. At break time here, everybody wants to be Salah. He's a phenomenon.
He's just a hero for Liverpool because, like, he's brought a hope to the club now.
Isaac and Christian adore Liverpool and, in particular, Salah, especially at playtime when the school blazers become goalposts and the teams have a habit of being made up of 16 Mo Salahs on each side.
He's got all the goals, he's got all the ability that you'd want from a top-class striker. So everyone just wants to be like him, and even some defenders are looking up to Mo Salah and thinking, I want to be like him. because he's just making child's dreams who support Liverpool.
I think he's an inspiration to all Liverpool fans and everyone around the world. He's come from, like, nowhere, and now he's known all around the world as an amazing footballer and considered one of the best in the world. A lot of footballers can be arrogant and selfish, but I think he's a really nice guy and not just a great footballer.
My junior school's just round the corner as well. I started here at Mospitz Lane when I was 4 years old. When I got my hair cut, I used to ask for it to look like Emlyn Hughes. Never like Kevin Keegan's, actually. Today, that hero worship that I felt for the teams of the 70s is all on one man.
He's the best player in the world, by far.
He wants to be like a team player, not an individual.
He's, like, really inspirational.
As soon as he gets the ball, you think he's either going to score or create just something magic. Just, it's boss when he gets the ball. It's, especially when he's in the attacking half, he can do anything, like anything he wants.
He doesn't care about the money.
He'll give the money away if he has to. He doesn't care.
But he goes with his family in Egypt every time he has the chance to, because he loves his family so much.
He doesn't forget where he's from.
He's just so selfless. He's not bothered about the money in football like other players. As people say, he's a game changer. He can change the game as soon as he gets the ball. He's the Egyptian king of the world.
I love that line. It's boss when he gets the ball. If you ever get the chance to go back to your old school, by the way, do it. Anyway, let's get back on with car journey.
A couple of miles up Smithdown Road is an area of Liverpool called Toxteth, and this is Granby Street. Every Saturday morning, hundreds of children come here to Liverpool's Arabic school. Now, Arabic isn't a language that's taught in most schools, so to keep it alive, the children come each week to learn how to read, write and speak it. And when Mo Salah signed for Liverpool, they suddenly found themselves the world's most famous Arabic-speaking footballer playing in their city. Razak Mossa runs the school.
Probably you're aware we've been through difficult times as a community in the last probably 20 years due to extremism and crisis across the world, wars and inter-community relations, the rise of Islamophobia. And then comes somebody like Mohamed Salah who bring some hope to the community and bring a different outlook. You know, people assume that all Muslims have got something around their chest and they're ready to explode, but this man has a lot in his feet and exploded worldwide in terms of love and care and fun, and it's captured the minds of young people and it's improved community relations beyond belief. I mean, we are trying to get him into our school where all the kids here, a rumour went out the last couple of days saying he's coming to the school, and we've got so many calls from parents, please take a photograph for our child with him, please do it. But the hope is to bring him here because he is a role model and children will be inspired by him. And not only us, adults, you know, I am the chair of the Liverpool Arabic Centre. I'm more motivated and wants to do more for the community and explore some ideas because of his presence.
Parents come and go during the school day. I caught up with some of them to talk about how they felt about Salah.
He united the whole communities under the umbrella of football.
Mohammed is different. He came two in one. He's an Arab as well as a Muslim.
I'm proud, you know. I've seen people from all over the Arab world, from all over different countries, from Morocco to Oman, saying, like, we also follow Liverpool just because of Mohamed Salah.
It feels like I'm not the only one. It feels like I'm not different. Feels like anything can happen right now in my future.
You can feel Mohamed Salah name now everywhere in Liverpool.
Mohamed Salah make me very proud and brave because now when I walk in the street or I go to the Liverpool One Center, they will say, look, she is Muslim like Mohamed Salah. Look, she put her scarf like Mohamed Salah wife. Okay, they will not push me because they think if they will push me or say something for against me, they maybe this is message for Mohamed Salah wives too.
He teach me something. There is nothing impossible. If you want to do something, you should do. Never ever stop. You should always keep on trying.
I'm proud. I'm Egyptian like him. I am that type like Mo Salah. I am this guy. As a Muslim, as an Arab, as an Egyptian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mohammed. Can you write Salah? Salah.
I was only supposed to be at the school for half an hour, but 3 hours later, I was still there listening to the children learn how to write Salah's name.
Do you know Muhammad Salah?
Yeah.
Do you like him?
Yeah.
Good.
On this journey around Liverpool, I've made it to Stanley Park, which is a piece of grass. On one side is Everton's ground, and on the other is Liverpool's. They're a quarter of a mile apart. They've been rivals for over 100 years, but it's different to other cities that have two teams. Not always, but quite often, the clubs work together, and so do the fans. And when they do, magical things happen, like the food bank that's run by Reds and Blues that collects a van full of food every week for the city's poor. It's run by Ian Byrne, who's the Red, and Dave Kelly, who's the Blue. They have different views about most things under the sun, but they only have one view about Salah.
He's clearly a role model for one half of the city. I think most Evertonians would be envious of having someone of his calibre on our books. He's been a breath of fresh air. I've looked at the way he's put the Muslim faith and Islam on the agenda. I don't think many people realised at the time, and I remember watching on social media about the Egyptian kings and we all want to be Muslims, and seeing how excited the Muslim community was about it and about him. It's a real positive, and it's actually got lots of people in this city talking about the backgrounds of all the players. And we've asked Everton this, and we've asked Liverpool, how many other Muslim players have you got? What is the connection with the Muslim community? One of the things I find really difficult is whenever we go in the mosque, but the first thing I get asked is, how do we get to go to the match? How do we get tickets to go to the match? Because that community wants to integrate fully with what they see as our community, and that's one of the really pleasing things about doing stuff with the Muslim community. They clearly get it. They want to be part of that community and they want to be integrated, and that's what Mo Salah has brought to the table.
What do you think he's done? How has he changed your perceptions of Muslims?
Made me think long and hard, and obviously you forget about where he's from. That doesn't matter. He's just a fantastic footballer, isn't he? But then, as you know, you see him drop to his knees and do what he does when he scores and give thanks to what he believes in, and slowly that permeates, doesn't it? That sort of thing permeates, and then people start questioning, what is Mo Salah? My two sons have said the same. What's Mo Salah? What does he believe in? What religion does he follow? And it's an education process, a real positive education process. I just think he's such a hugely positive role model for any child in Liverpool, regardless of religion, regardless of what they're from. I just think he's a decent human being. He's also a wonderful football player.
Football fans often get accused of lots of things, particularly of them being racist and of the Islamophobes and everything else. I genuinely have always believed, if you've got a centre forward who's black and knocking 30 or 40 goals a season, then he stops being black, he starts being your player in blue or your player in red. And all clubs are being accused of having their racist following. I don't particularly feel that the vast majority of supporters look upon Mo Salah as being a Muslim. They look upon him as being a role model, but an incredibly gifted and talented footballer.
Within the Muslim world, you've got a real positive role model that's adored in Liverpool, and surely that message can be spread throughout the Muslim world. It really is using football as a vehicle for integration right across the communities, right across the world. And the thing is, football can do that. Salah can reach places where normal people can't, because he's a footballer, a world-class footballer, but he's also an unbelievable role model. So he can, and I don't think Liverpool have scratched the surface yet of the potentially what you could actually use Salah for as a role model for good. And I don't mean to sell shirts around the world, because that's not for good as such, is it? That's just that's for Liverpool. But actually, what you could actually use this man for.
The food bank started out as just a few Everton and Liverpool fans, but it's broadened out. And it's really fitting that Liverpool's Muslim community is involved now and helps. Amira Scarisbrick is a local Muslim woman. We were chatting about the food bank, and it only took a minute before Salah's name popped up. I was expecting her to say something like, he's a good Muslim and we're very proud of him. I wasn't expecting her to say,
I love him with all my heart and I want my son to grow like him.
he's what, you know, you hope for, and he's, you know, making such an impact, like you say, on the pitch, off the pitch, for our faith. He's given us our confidence back in our, as Muslims, you know, because we've had such a battering, that he's reviving our confidence. And our youth are desperate, you know, for people like that. We need those sort of role models, and we need hope in what is quite a dark world. And he is a beacon of light for us in Liverpool and worldwide, I think.
So far, I've only talked to people in Liverpool about his influence here in the city. I was about to discover it went to a whole new level in other parts of the world. We'd been in touch for a couple of weeks, but when Salma Abdullah, an Egyptian from Cairo, told me she was coming to Liverpool, we met up for a chat. She's studying for a master's degree. Her dissertation is on how Salah breaks down the barriers between people.
What's very interesting about Salah is that every time he scores a goal, he prostrates on the pitch. He never speaks about religion. He's not trying to shove down his ideas down someone's throats. He has been doing it for years. He did it when he was playing in Egypt. So most of the players in Egypt do this after they score a goal. So it's not something odd to him.
It is, though, in the Premier League. It's not something that's seen in British football.
Yeah, but still, he doesn't... The good thing, like, when I did interviews with a lot of people who are Liverpool fans or from Liverpool Muslim community, the thing they love about him, that he's not trying to hide who he is. So he's just acting normally.
It's a difficult line for him to walk, because it's fine to sort of say I'm not professing my faith that much, I'm not trying to convert people or bring them in, but he is demonstrating his faith, and that's a very strong position. But it's also quite a I don't want to say the word weak, but it's vulnerable. It's a vulnerable situation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But the thing is, he's the star of the team. So everyone already likes him. And they see that, okay, if this is what it takes to make him part of the community or make him more accommodated in the community, then they're fine with it.
What do you think his position here does for Egyptian football and for football in the Arabic world?
If you talk to any Egyptian footballer right now, and he would tell you, like, that, okay, Salah did it, we can as well. Like, many Egyptian footballers don't want to join the biggest clubs in Africa, for example. So there are Al Ahly, for example, the biggest club in Africa. It was a dream of every other player before. But right now, they feel like, okay, we can make it in Europe. Like, there is a possibility. But right now, everyone is a Liverpool fan.
Is this as good as it gets? Is there a danger of us talking him up too much?
I feel like it's hard to speculate something like this, how this is going to end, but I don't think it's a one-season thing. I don't think...
How does he make you feel as an Egyptian who's studying him and studying his influence? How does that play with you?
Like, before, when I used to travel abroad before, and when someone asked me, where are you from? And I say, Egypt. So it's always about the pharaohs and things that happened like 5,000 years ago. And like, I'm proud of being like of my heritage and everything. But when someone, right now, when I say Egypt, so it's always a conversation about Mo Salah. And this is very interesting. Like, we're doing things that are happening right now and changing the world right now. So definitely makes me proud.
In episode 3 of Searching for Salah, we turn to music. From the Yemeni love song to Salah, to the Scousers in the pub, excited about this, I'll be talking to Nigel Clark from Dodgy, who one day realised his biggest hit was now all about a footballer. You can download all the episodes of Searching for Salah from the same place you got this one, from your favourite podcast host, or from the BBC Five Live website now.